Well clapped. Now we're going to listen to our first reading.
The reading this morning comes from the book of Micah, chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, and it's where he speaks about establishing peace and security through obedience. And the reading can be found starting on page 755 on your pew Bible. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised up above the hills. People shall stream to it, and many nations shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to Christ.
O God, help us to listen to your word with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to respond to it with courage. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Please sit down. Many of you know that for the last 20 or so years, I've had the huge privilege of working as a duty chaplain at Westminster Abbey. It has many, many treasures, and this is a very special time of year. Just inside the great west door of Westminster Abbey lies the only tomb in the church which is never, ever walked on by kings and queens, by brides, by bishops. The other 3,500 graves are part of the floor, trodden on by an endless procession of tourists, visitors, and pilgrims, who often ask, "Where's Darwin's grave? Where's Newton? Where's Livingstone?" to be told, "Actually, you're standing on him." But the grave, which is always edged with poppies, is sacred and solemn. For it is the last resting place of a soldier of the First World War, unknown by name or rank, but buried in the abbey among kings and queens and statesmen, poets and scientists. It was on Armistice Day in 1920 that the body of the unknown warrior was buried with great solemnity in the abbey. The Reverend David Railton, who was an army chaplain, had suggested the idea to the dean, and the dean secured the very reluctant approval of King George V and the government. The king had feared that 2 years after the last shot was fired on the battlefield, it might reopen the war wound which the king had hoped was gradually healing. But wiser voices prevailed, and the king was persuaded. So on November the 7th of that year, 6 unidentified bodies were exhumed from under their rough crosses marked unknown in the battlefields of northern France and taken to a small hut not far from Ypres, which all the soldiers called Wipers. Now, one source says that it was Brigadier General Wyatt who randomly selected one, but I prefer Dean Michael Main's account, because he met him, that a young British officer, Henry Williams, who died aged 96 in 1993, was chosen, blindfolded, and led inside. The first body he touched was selected, and that body was placed in a coffin of English oak from Hampton Court, along and carried by HMS Verdun from Boulogne to Dover, along with 6 barrels of earth from the battlefields of Ypres. It went by train to Victoria, and then by gun carriage to the new cenotaph in Whitehall, which the king unveiled. And then the coffin was borne into the abbey to be received by 100 holders of the Victoria Cross. At the committal, the Padre's flag, which Railton had used both as an altar cloth and as a shroud on the Western Front, was removed, and it was later placed nearby in St. George's Chapel near the door, where it still hangs, so thin and threadbare that you can see through it. The king scattered battlefield earth over the coffin from a silver shell. The grave was closed, and in the next 2 weeks, 1.5 million people filed past the grave in homage to all those who had died in the war to end all wars. For every single person who had lost someone they loved and cared about in that dreadful war, and for whom there was no known grave, there was the possibility that he was here in this simple tomb, with its inscription made out of melted down shell cases. And it reads, "Thus are commemorated the many multitudes who, during the Great War of 1914 to 1918, gave the most that man can give, life itself, for God, for king and country, for loved ones, home and empire, for the sacred cause of justice and the freedom of the world." And it ends, "They buried him among the kings because he had done good toward God and toward his house." Every Remembrance Sunday, the heads of the 3 armed forces lead a packed congregation, remembering all who've died in the Great War and in the seemingly endless conflicts ever since. And every foreign head of state, on a state visit to London, comes to the Abbey to lay a wreath, as do many servicemen's organisations and hosts of private individuals. And now, each year, outside the Abbey, there is a field of poppies at Remembrance Tide, each small wooden cross with its poppy, placed by anyone who wants to remember someone who died in war. And sadly, many of those are very recent. So when we remember, what are we doing? Are we simply looking back at events in our history and saying how sad, how awful? There has to be that. We have to share the penitence of humanity's corporate sin, which has led to wars and conflicts of all sorts. The greed, the selfishness, the pig-headedness, which sees violence as a way of gaining supremacy. A 6th century church historian called Evagrius described sin as forgetfulness of God's goodness. Forgetfulness of God's goodness. We forget his purpose in creating us. We forget our true potential. We forget that we are made to love and to be loved. And so we damage others and ourselves daily, both in trivial ways and in unspeakable cruelty and aggression. When the Gulf War began in 1990, the Abbey placed a large brass bronze crucifix in front of the tomb of the unknown warrior, with a spotlight behind it, so that the shadow of the cross fell over the tomb. It was a powerful way of saying, God is involved in all this. It's not his will. He's not indifferent to all this suffering. But in his love, he gave Jesus to show in his living and his suffering and his dying on a cross that self-giving love is what lies at the heart of our universe. And if only we would remember that, God's kingdom will come. And then we will be remembered. For the word literally means to be put back together. We will be recreated, damaged, dysfunctional people that we are, brought into the kingdom, put back together, made whole, and made again into the people of God, the body of Christ. Then we are charged with continuing with the building of God's kingdom for the whole of his world, that wars may cease, that peace, justice, and compassion may rule in the hearts of people everywhere. Look back and remember. Look up and be remembered.